The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't!
It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
And welcome back to yet another edition of the Computer Corner. The data doctors are in the house along with Lewis from Mac Media. So we've got your Windows side covered. We got your Macintosh, Apple, whatever flavor you want to call it, covered. And let's see, where you want Robert here? There he is. Robert's joining us from Data Doctors. It's been a while since you were on, like, way, way, way back when you first started with us, right?
Yeah, it was about 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, so there we go.
Oh, he was a newbie 5 weeks ago?
7 or 8 weeks ago.
That makes you a veteran now.
He is. 2 months. Hey, we're here to talk technology, as we are every Saturday afternoon, but the big thing is, you know, you've got questions, we'll make up answers, right?
Any answer is a good answer.
602-277-5827. As long as we know more than the person asking the question, we're golden. 602-277-5827. If you care to join us online, you can. datadoctors.com/radio. That'll direct you right to this week's theme, which the theme last week we were talking about social media. And we kind of kept to the theme because there was so much to cover and we wanted as much input from listeners as possible. And we want your input as well because there's a lot of smart people out there when it comes to streaming media, especially in the ever-emerging streaming video world.
This is just a huge market now.
It is. It's ridiculous. And there are more different products out there, more good products out there. There's a lot of stuff out there that you can buy that will allow you to take what's normally only available on your computer and watch it on your regular television. There's stuff that you can put on top of your television that will allow you to pull stuff from the internet. There's a million different ways now to watch internet content on your television. That's just one of the many things that we want to cover today. We're just talking about the general state of streaming media, audio, video, whatever it is. You got YouTube, you got a million different ways to consume this information, whether it's music or talk radio. Those of you listening to us anywhere around the world through the internet, you were streaming this audio. And it's all based on some real basic fundamentals of the internet. Everything on the internet gets broken up into what they call packets, little packets of information. The way I tried to demonstrate it on the television show way back in the golden days is I took one of those clear plastic tubes and took some ping pong balls and put the ping pong balls inside the tube so that each bit of information was a ping pong ball and they're all connected and they don't have to necessarily go one after another. They can be, the first three can be for this particular request that you have. The second two could be for your email going out, and the next five could be the continuation of that request you made first. I mean, it's a real crazy thing that goes on there.
His analogy sounds a lot like the lottery.
It is. It is the lottery. sometimes it's big time. So talking about visual things on a radio show, that's, after 15 years, you think I'd figure out that doesn't work. But anyway, the fact that all of this stuff goes out through these little packets, it really comes down to what are you using to catch those packets? And, a lot of people are concerned about, well, I don't have the fastest internet connection in the world. Well, a lot of the technology out there is designed to make up for that lack of bandwidth because it does what's called caching or queuing. Those packets come over, so before it starts to show minute one of the movie and make sure that it's got all the packets to take you through minute 10, so that over the next 10 minutes, it can get the next 10 minutes worth of packets.
So the larger that buffer,
right,
the less chance of dropping some of those packets.
Right, so you don't have that, the video stops because it's waiting to, it's buffering trying to get that next bit of video. So
sure, you can even have that with satellite TV.
Sure.
Where you have tiling, they
right.
call it.
Yeah, because of the digital imaging doesn't come across and all the information's not getting there, and there you have it. So if you're interested in really exploring a lot of this new technology, a lot of stuff that's going on in the world of streaming media. We've put a bunch of resources up to probably some sites you've heard of, some sites you may have heard of, never visited, and some stuff you probably never heard of. And that's really the point of the show, is to try to bring you some new information about this particular topic. But most importantly, those of you that are out there, that you're the early adopters, you're the ones that started doing crazy stuff with video 2, 3, 4 years ago, please share your experience. All the pain that you've gone through, all of the things about, okay, forget about this, don't do this, don't waste your money on this, or I've found the greatest thing in the world, or you know, it all stinks. Whatever you have to provide as input and feedback, that's very, very helpful for everyone listening. So 602-277-5827, you got a computer question, technology question, a Mac question, a Windows question, doesn't matter. We got you covered all bases this week. You can also send us a question via the website, datadoctors.com/radio. See all of our links. And on the right-hand side, you'll see the feedback section where you can either ask a question or just make a comment about, I don't know, our slurring language or, you know, whatever's happening. Whatever makes you feel good. We're all good about that. Those of you that have started the whole adventure of Twitter, we're just about to round the 500 user follower corner here, which is kind of astonishing in 2 weeks that, you know, we're just talking about this stuff in general, and we're all trying to learn this together. And I mean, we're not like anything like, you know, like Shaq with his 200,000 visitors.
So what's the name for the little snippets that I keep getting?
Tweets. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. 140 characters or less. If you want to see somebody that really understands the power of Twitter, if you're not following the real Shaq, who is the real Shaq, and you can tell by looking at his pictures that he posts and whatever, it's the real Shaq. He absolutely gets it. He absolutely understands that this is a way for him to communicate with a lot of his fans, a lot, you know, anybody wants to follow him along that. And he's quickly becoming probably the biggest celebrity, if you will, on Twitter, because he gets it, because he absolutely gets it. And we're going to try like heck to try to get him on the show sometime to really kind of explain how he got started and what it's all about, and, you know, just his take on the whole Twitter thing.
I started doing a lot of keyword searches within Twitter on my iPhone and fooling around with that, and now I'm realizing how it works and how it can work to my advantage.
Yeah, and it's everyone can use it in a different way. What's really interesting, I started looking at Twitter as a search engine.
Well, it seems like one.
I want resources and feedback that are really right now on any topic or subject. I just put it into the search on Twitter. And everybody that I'm following, or it doesn't even have to be everybody I'm following, anybody that has posted anything in their Twitter account about that information, I potentially have that as a feed. I could just kind of whip through there. And it's phenomenal. If you're looking for information, those of you students out there, they contact us all the time saying, I'm doing a research paper on, I'm trying to find resources for. This is a new place for you to go find these new resources. What's cool about Twitter, I mean, Google's great as a search engine, but it's a mixed bag, right? We were just looking for something on the media boxes, right? And the best that we could come up with in a short period of time was something from a year ago. Well, a year ago's technology is not relevant to this show today. So during one of the breaks now, I'm going to see how much more relevant information I can get by going to Twitter and searching through all the tweets about these media boxes, right? And we'll see who gave me a better set of resources to work with right now, relevant today. And I got a feeling Twitter's going to probably outperform Google here.
Well, and Twitter kind of bases things that way, you know, newest to oldest.
Well, sure. We're talking about conversations that are happening right now. So check all that out, datadoctors.com/radio or 602-277-5827. We got another hour and 45 minutes to try to keep you entertained and educated. It's edutainment here on the Computer Corner. We'll be back right after this. Boy, I don't know what the weather's like in your part of the world, but here in the amazing, amazing Great Southwest known as Phoenix, Arizona this time of year. Of course, when it gets a little hotter, we call it Furnace, Arizona. But for now, we're the envy of most of the world. This weather is phenomenal.
It is biking weather.
It is whatever you want to do outside weather. We're talking about the state of streaming media, audio, video. Doesn't matter. We're going to talk about throughout the show, and we have resources set up for you, whether you want to be a receiver of this content. In other words, you want to get something that allows you to, you know, watch internet content on your television. That's one way. You want to be somebody that's actually a broadcaster. The promise to empower the individual that the internet has always had as part of its core. If you haven't figured it out, it's there. You literally, if you want to start your own television station, if you will, you know, your audience is obviously going to be smaller or more more segmented than broadcast television, but you can. There's links that I've put up there. If you want to start doing your own video broadcast, high quality, to whomever that wants to get it, about whatever you want to say, it's there, and most of these systems are free. You want to start, you want to be your own internet DJ? You got a flavor for music, and you like music in a certain pattern, you like these obscure songs or whatever? You can create your own radio station through Shoutcast. That's one of the links that we have. There's really no limitation. Obviously, YouTube. You fancy yourself a filmmaker? Well, make all those short films and create your own channel on YouTube and let the world see your work and decide whether they like it or not.
I think another one you have on there is Pandora.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorites. And to be able to take one of your favorite artists and make a station out of it or a particular genre, and then all of a sudden you've got music from your era playing all day long, and it's
commercial-free.
Commercial-free, and it's all stuff you like.
Not that commercial radio doesn't have a place, because it does. No, but, you know, and Pandora is a great just resource for just creating that background music and learning about new artists and that kind of thing. The flip side to all this is those of you that own a business realize that these streaming things that are so prevalent can also steal bandwidth and choke down the ability for the network to be able to provide the core business applications as opposed to somebody that's listening to Pandora or what have you. So that's another issue. If you're a business owner out there, you're trying to deal with this problem, if you will, in your business that, hey, these, you know, my employees have all found all these streaming media outlets and they try to use them all day long and it just kills off our bandwidth. What can I do?
20 of 20 employees are sucking off the bandwidth.
And can't get my emails because it's taking forever. We can help you with that as well. So check all that out. And let's go to the phones here and start with Don. You're first up on the computer corner, Don. How may we be of assistance?
Well, first off, I'm honored that I'd be Lewis out, but my concern has to do with the bandwidth limitations. I know that when Comcast in California announced a 250 gigabyte limit a few months ago, the world went nuts over it. Mm-hmm. Now I find out that Cox, my local provider, has a 40 gigabyte limit on a monthly usage. My question is, how does that play into everything else that we're doing? I have, you know, internet browsing. I've got kids in the family that are home. And I'm addicted to the podcasting. I listen to Leo Laporte, John C. Dvorak, Callie Lewis, the guys at Revision 3. You guys, obviously, if I miss a show, I get it downloaded that way. We've got a Netflix account with a Roku box and, you know, some instant watch. But my bottom line is, you know, you do anything at all and your 40 gigabytes is gone in no time. My question, I guess, is how do you deal with that? How do you...
Well, you've kind of hit on something that's been a sensitive spot in the internet world for a long, long time. And in fact, if you remember last year, there was a big hubbub on net neutrality, and that had to do with who actually gets priority over others when it comes to delivery of services and what have you. You know, we've been spoiled when it comes to the internet. We've been on this all-you-can-eat plan, right? You pay a flat rate and just you consume as much as you can. And because so many people are on the internet and because there's so many problems with just the sheer number of people and the sheer amount of content that's out there, I think everybody's struggling with how do we manage this and how do we get it to a point where the people that use more pay more? And that's kind of what you're starting to see with some of the ISPs. I don't know if they're going to be successful because it's kind of like with Southwest Airlines, everyone else started paying, you know, charging all these fees for all these things. And they were in a position where they said, well, we're the only ones that aren't going to charge you these fees. And it basically helped them. I think you're going to see ISPs starting to do that. You know, somebody's going to take a position and saying, hey, we're not like everyone else. We're not going to charge you the way that they are.
Well, the problem, though, that I see run into is that there's no competition. I mean, you've got, for high speed that you can really use, you've got Cox, and then you've got the DSL from the phone company.
Actually, you're going to start to see more and more point-to-point and local area wireless opportunities. There are actually quite a few wireless companies here in Phoenix that you could use that either are point-to-point or just line of sight.
Okay, wireless, you're talking about things like the cellular networks? Or
No. I don't want to name off names, but there's...
Right.
I'm going to put you on hold here because we're coming up on a break, but there are options And the fact is, if this becomes a problem and all of us complain about it, then that's going to encourage these other folks to come in anyway. So, Don, hang tight there. We'll take you off the air. Carrie, Kevin, Adrian, hang tight. We want to get to all your questions as well. It is the Computer Corner. We're talking about streaming media, and you stay tuned for more. Sorry, I got caught up in a conversation off the air there. We're doing a radio show here. It's the Computer Corner, and I've got a headphone that's challenging me. By the way, I talked some more to Don about what he was talking about with this limitation. Apparently, that's a parameter that they have, but they're not enforcing.
Yeah, I kind of did some research and looked this stuff up, and I saw some information pertaining to Comcast, Cox, Time Warner. And depending on the type of package, I guess, they have the option to suspend or terminate service if you go over the allotted amount after some initial warnings from them.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that has to do with the story that I was talking about a couple of weeks ago, how the music industry has changed their tactics of how they're going to go after people that are downloading copyrighted music instead of going after the individuals. They're getting ISPs to work with them. So they say, we've identified somebody on your system with this IP address that's downloading copyrighted music. Will you please send them a notice saying that if you don't stop doing this, that you know you potentially will be shut down or what have you. Getting them to be kind of the strong arm, if you will.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of that verbiage that you're seeing is because of this discussion that they're having with the music industry. At the end of the day, these service providers, if they just alienate their customers, they're not going to have much of a business.
No, I think if you buy the base account on any particular ISP,
the low end,
they may enforce that because you're buying the base account.
Right.
Now, however, like myself, I have obviously the fastest account I can get, and I use my Roku box, which that other gentleman had, and my Apple TV and some other devices on a daily basis. There's no way I'm not going past the allotted amount.
If that's what it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, everybody that just freaked out when they heard that, it's not a situation where today, if you go over this, you're done. It is something that they're probably slowly kind of figuring out how to implement this thing along with everyone else that's in this business. And, you know, it's something to watch for. And Don's point was, as I talked to him off the air, he just wanted to bring this up so that people are aware that this is something that's going on. So we really appreciate you doing that, Don. That's exactly what this show is supposed to help people do, is try to look on the horizon and understand what's going on. So appreciate that. And anybody else want to input on that? 602-277-5827. What's that?
Well, it's not like they have the, you know, unlimited amounts of bandwidth. So,
right.
I mean, they are an ISP, so they only have so much to provide. I know with particular colleges in general, when people were going wild with iPhones and started hopping on the free wireless, they were bringing the whole network down because they weren't prepared for that. So this is where these ISPs come into, you know, these issues. You know, eventually when everybody gets up on this technology, well...
The more of this stuff that's going on, the more people that buy streaming media and use the Netflix service, and what the heck's going to happen?
And because we're all on this big pipe, well, everybody's sharing, so eventually the performance is going down altogether.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the phones here and see if we can help Carrie, who has a iMac disconnect from the net problem, it sounds like.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for being there.
Yep, I've got an iMac 24-inch that runs on a home network, and it randomly disconnects from the network.
Is it wired or wireless?
Wireless.
Okay.
If I turn the airport off and turn it back on again, it will reconnect.
Okay, and what kind of wireless router? It's an, you say an airport?
Linksys.
Okay, so it's a Linksys router, airport card on there. It's an N, and it's fairly new?
I've actually only had it about 6 months. I've got three other Windows-based computers running on the same network, and they don't appear to be having an issue.
Ha-ha! Neener, neener, neener.
Yeah, I hated to say that.
No, you know what, though, Carrie? It's a couple things. Are you using any form of encryption on this?
It's a secure network, let's put it that way.
Okay. So sometimes what will happen is if you go to the really high end, the bleeding edge level of encryption, this kind of thing will happen. And sometimes you can back down a little bit. For instance, the old school of WEP, you had 128-bit and you had 64-bit.
Right. Right.
If you're using the exact same brand of product throughout the network, you could push that upper limit and not have a problem. But if you were mixing and matching different brands, generally, if you kicked it from 128 down to 64-bit, which obviously is not as secure from a technical standpoint, but it actually works more consistently, sometimes that'll do it.
Okay.
The fact that it's only happening with this particular unit, are the Windows machines, are they all using Linksys brand network adapters? Or they
they're all internal, but
okay.
I'm one of your customers, and you guys have checked that portion of it out and said everything was fine, so I'm assuming that's not the issue.
Yeah, no, it's probably something to do with the way that the Mac is trying to communicate with your Linksys router.
Okay.
So take a look at the encryption level. If it's too high for the Mac, that might be part of the problem.
Turn it down one notch, and that may solve it.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, the way you would know absolutely for sure it's an encryption issue is to turn off the encryption altogether for some period of time, right? Which obviously that also exposes your network. But that's the easiest way to determine is encryption. Because if it always stays connected after you turn off the encryption, then you know, okay, it's something to do with that.
And the other thing we can do with that is that machine under Apple Care still? The other thing we can do is check out the airport card in that machine and make sure everything is indeed connected properly internally, because there are a couple connection points that sometimes do come loose.
Okay.
And there could be some maybe firmware updates.
Could be a couple different things, but it's covered under warranty, so you can bring it into any of our locations. You can bring it into any of the Apple stores, and they'll certainly take a look at that and test it on their network and make sure it's not just your network.
Carrie, is this a pattern
happens all the time.
Okay, so it's not something where you're going to take it in, they're going to go, there's nothing wrong with this.
No, and I thought maybe it was, I've got wireless, cordless phones. I thought that was it. I disconnected all those, took them out of the house.
You can get interference from cordless phones, from microwaves, from your neighbor's wireless networks, right? Do you see a lot of other network base stations? Okay.
No.
So, but if it was going to be impacting your Mac, then it should have impacted your Windows units as well. Yeah. The other option is if there's any possibility of going wired, because this is a stationary, it's not a laptop, right?
Right, it's a stationary unit.
Yeah, so if you cannot figure out why the heck this is happening, there's a couple of different options, including what's called PowerLAN.
Right, goes through the electrical wires.
Yeah, it's not the best way to go, especially if you're into gaming and what have you, but it works.
Cool.
And it keeps you on there, so hopefully one of those things will help you out.
I'll turn off the encryption first, and then we'll go from there.
All right, Care.
Thank
you know
what? It.
And if possible, let us know next week what whatever ended up happening, so others can learn from your pain.
Excellent.
All right, thanks very much. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
He's a BIA operating system guy. He's got both Windows and Mac, and they coexist. Did you happen to notice that he said he had three, not one, not two, but three Windows machines that all were performing beautifully on that network? But the one machine that No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There's a good chance if there were two Apples on the network, one of them would have worked.
Hey, by the way, just as a follow-up to the discussion we were having earlier about Google being a great search engine, but it still has the issue of it's indexing everything in the world, I tried a little test where I combined the power of Google and the immediate information base that is Twitter, and got all kinds of just great resources. If I was actually in the market looking for a streaming media box, what I did was I went to Google and I typed in streaming media box. But instead of telling Google, just find anything anywhere on the internet, you can put a switch on Google that says, but only show me results from this site. And so what you do is you type in streaming media box, then a space, and then the word site, S-I-T-E, colon, and then the website itself, in this case, twitter.com. So I told it, I only want you to bring me back results that you've cached from twitter.com. And I have 634. So now it went from, what was it before? 8,250,000 results to 634. I got 634 results from tweets that happened 11 hours ago, 6 hours ago, some of them a couple days ago, but none of it's this dated information that we were getting from Google. So there's a little tip for you. If you're really looking for something that's really about right now, combine Google and Twitter and you'll be amazed what you get for search results. You're going to say?
I was just going to say,
Learning stuff, huh?
Yeah, I'm dumbfounded.
Well, If we can make everybody more gooder computer users, that's the whole point of the show, huh? 602-277-5827. Actually got a couple lines open. Let's go back to the phones here. Talk to Kevin. Kevin, you're in the world of creating stuff that we consume on the internet, aren't you?
Yes, video production, and also focusing on the web, delivering web videos.
Yeah, and I mean, all you need is like a webcam. I mean, you know, you don't need any software or anything. You just get a webcam and just throw that stuff up on the internet, right?
Yeah, a little bit more involved than that, but
you mean professional? You mean?
Yeah, exactly, professional. But one comment about Windows versus Mac. Windows 95 is Mac 84. I always say.
See, I have fans.
Yeah, two of them.
and just another one item on the Twitter. I saw a C-SPAN interview on the founder of Twitter, and he exactly was talking about this current search engine. You know, if you're, say, in San Francisco, you see helicopters flying around, you just do a Twitter search about what's, you know, San Francisco helicopters, and boom, you know, there's a fire or there's something going on. It's a great way for instantaneous searching.
It's amazing. And, I mean, look at the first pictures from a miraculous landing of that airplane in the Hudson, Twitter user. Some of the first information coming out of the horrific situation in Mumbai.
Twitter,
right? In fact, it was so, they had to tell the people that were Twittering that were actually hostages to stop, because this information, everybody, you know, the guys that are holding you hostage are going to know where you're hiding. I mean, it is phenomenal what's happening with these communication technologies, so.
Yeah.
And you're following the real Shaq, too, aren't you?
The real Shaq?
Yeah, on Twitter.
Who's Shaq?
You know, the Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, I don't follow hockey, really.
Hockey? So what's really involved in doing professional video?
Well, it kind of all starts with content, and you know, people are definitely putting stuff out there, and yeah, there's some great innovative stuff, but you know, people nowadays are, you know, the world of TiVo, instant gratification, moving on, you know, so if you don't grab them in the first 30 seconds, you're done.
Yeah.
So and basically putting that into a high energy you know, package is what we're finding that works. And but then getting it onto the web is the I call it the black art.
Hey, you know what? I want to hear more about that. We got to go to a break. I'm going to put you on hold because the black art part of this thing, I think, is where we're going to get some learning. So, Kevin, stay tuned for that. When we come back, I'm also going to give you a little information about who you should be paying homage to if you are a big, big, big fan of streaming video and streaming audio, especially in the video side. You're going to be surprised who kind of led the way for this and who continues to lead the way in streaming video. Stay tuned for more. So you really love your streaming video, do you? You love getting jiggy with it? Well, there's a little factoid most people don't really realize. The fact that the adult industry got jiggy with the technology early on is why we can all consume this video streaming and all this stuff that's basically free to us. The development costs of how to get this video streaming in a reasonable manner and cost-effective way, the cost of that was all those people that engaged in all that activity in those early days, all that pornography and adult material that everybody complains about. I'm not saying that it's a good thing, but the reality is that industry paved the way for us to have all of this video streaming technology optimized and in a place that we can use it.
Well, it took a large sum of change to put that together. And
well, you have to
anyone had it, it was the adult industry.
Well, you have to have a way to monetize the costs of the research and development. And when nobody's willing to pay for anything, then it doesn't get done. And the one place where people were willing to pay, even for the rudimentary and not that great service back then, you know, I'm talking 10 to 12 years ago. People will pay for that stuff.
And membership fees.
They continue to create the way, and they're the ones paving the path. And the most recent reports is they're the ones paving the path for mobile devices to be able to get video. And the cost of figuring out how to do that is being taken care of by those people that are really into adult material. So if that helps you feel better about the fact that the internet is full of this stuff. Kevin, we're going to switch gears, right? We're not going to talk about how you said black arts, and you're not an adult video producer, right?
No, and every time I do tell people I do video production, that is the first thing that comes to their mind.
Yeah. Well, if you say internet at all, right? So real quickly, without getting too technical, the black arts part, if somebody's out there really wants to do something more than just the webcam kind of video, what kind of things are there to be considered?
First of all, the video size, 720 by 480 is the standard TV size. Obviously, you've got HD now, but the smaller the video, the smaller the file size is the key. The frame rate, 240 frames, the bit rate. But then also, again, the frame rate. Instead of 30 frames per second, you might want to cut it down to 15. But, again, it's going to be choppy. And then there's the compression programs. Cleaner, things like that. Flash Video is a really good program, a compression that...
And Flash is primarily what you see like on YouTube and a lot of major video sites, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of other things that are converting in the back. Whatever you put your video up in, they compress it and do what they need to, constrain it to their size.
Correct.
Requirements and things like that. So if I may give a shout-out, what we did, if that's okay.
You're talking about as far as your project?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Make it quick.
It's InsideCyclingTV.com. We followed Tour California for 10 days and did a webisode, 3 to 5 minutes each day, and Lance Armstrong was Twittering while he was on his bike, which was kind of interesting.
Oh, well, that is cool.
Yeah.
All right, so one more time, what was that URL?
InsideCyclingTV.com. TV.com.
Oh, that should be easy to remember. Lots of people out there into cycling.
Well, now I got something to do after I get off the show.
Let me know what you guys think, too.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate your input and some slightly technical but not too technical information there. 57. Really quick, Arthur, you had a suggestion about the Mac wireless problem from earlier?
Yes. If you're using WPA TKIP encryption, the newer Macs, the newer iPods, and the Zune will not be able to get through that encryption.
They're not.
Most of your routers will give you a choices of different varieties of encryption. Some of them are stronger than the WPA TKIP. It just doesn't like that particular form of encryption.
Yeah, it gets into that. Okay, thank you. And he's just giving more specific details about that issue of encryption. And it's not just a Mac thing, folks. We see this in the Windows side all the time as well. You got to be careful, and you got to play around with the different encryption levels when you're having connectivity issues, because sometimes that is the cause. Not always. You're willing to bet it's a wireless card.
I'm willing to bet it's a wireless card, but sometimes it is web encryption. It tends to happen more with the older machines than the newer machines for us, but you never know.
We'll see. All right, we got another hour to go. If you haven't visited us online, do so, datadoctors.com/radio. You can see all of our streaming media resources that we've posted there. And, of course, your calls and questions, 602-277-5827. When we come back, a very special hello to a very special listener.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
"Dope!" It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
And welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. We've had some fun here talking about streaming media and streaming technology in general, and lots of resources and ideas for you to explore at our website, datadoctors.com/radio, and you'll see all of the resources themselves on the left-hand side. While you're there, if you have a suggestion, a question, or a little, hey, here's what I use, here's what I love the Roku box, I love this, I love whatever it is, give us your feedback there at the website. Or you can call in at 602-277-5827. 602-277-5827. Before we go on, though, I wanted to say hello to Joanne and Nick, who are regular listeners of the show. Nick, I understand you just got out of the hospital. Hope everything's going really well. Really appreciate you listening every week, and welcome home. Hope you feel better, and send us a little email or something. Let us know how you're doing. Really appreciate you listening. Joanne and Nick out there, thanks a lot. And with that, let's go to the Geek Speak of the Week, which is our section of the show where we try to teach you something new every week that you, you know, some vernacular, some verbiage, some term that you might have seen that you go, well, I wonder what that means. And of course, this week's Geek Speak of the Week is right in line with our theme.
IPTV.
Say that one more time.
IPTV.
IPTV. Internet. Now, is that one of those adult things or no? No. Okay. No, it's not.
Far from it.
Okay.
Internet Protocol Television.
Now, what the heck's that mean?
A system where digital television service is delivered over the internet.
So the general, it's TV over the internet, kind of, right?
Basically.
Yeah.
And there's a whole slew of stations for that.
Well, and the thing is, you have to think differently about IPTV than you do from television, regular television. Regular television is based on somebody else sets the broadcast schedule, and you either watch it when it's being broadcast or remember to record it. Most IPTV offerings are almost a video on demand. You know, like Hulu. If you go to Hulu.com, I want to watch 30 Rock this episode right now. Boom, 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 done.
Sure.
Now, that's a pretty dramatic shift in how you consume what you, I mean, 30 Rock is still going to get those viewers, but a lot of them that like it will watch it when they want. They don't have to buy a TiVo now. You don't have to buy anything to go see that show. Oh, I forgot to record it. I hope they play it again. Those days are gone.
Well, that was always my problem in the past, is I would just always forget to record the stuff that I actually wanted, so I'd go back there and I'd look. Or the schedule would change.
Yeah.
And when the schedule changed, it no longer recorded anymore.
Or how about it's off by just 2 minutes,
and
the end of the show gets cut. Or it wasn't a first run.
Or there's a sporting event, and it cut into the show,
or you
extended it.
Or you recorded so many high-definition shows that it filled up, and you were out of town, and
the hard drive was
whatever. So anyway, I think it's a pretty dramatic change there from how we consume these things. Lisa, you want to give us your problem of the week?
Well, I have a question about the IPTV thing. Aside from sounding like a joke from The Simpsons, do you watch it on your computer? Or
can you
watch it on TV?
Certainly. You can.
How do you watch it on your TV? Because I'm a person that never even got TiVo.
Well, if you watch it on your TV, you'd purchase one of these boxes.
Like Apple TV, like Roku, or there's so many different ways to get what would normally be seen on your computer transmitted over to your television. So you put a box on top of the television that receives this, usually through a wireless connection, and you have a transmitter at the computer.
Oh, so
that sends it.
Cords,
right?
It's not like cords.
And then you load software on the computer that allows that box on the TV to control what the computer is pulling up off the internet, and it sends it over to the box that's on your big screen TV, and it's bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, you kind of think
you're watching
it,
the.
I kind of think about it as a like a DVD on demand. So you know, people understand how a DVD player works now, or VCR if you want to go way back. So if you think of it that way, it's just everything that you had in your catalog or outside of your catalog now on demand and available at any time.
Or if you have a Netflix account and you have an Xbox 360, you can already use their service as part of your membership. They have about 10,000 titles you can on demand through the Xbox say, I'd like to see this right now. So it's kind of like we've talked about this for years. The notion that in technology and in electronics, everything is going to do everything. Like, everything's going to take a picture. Everything's going to allow you to access the internet. Everything's going to email. That's kind of where we're going with a lot of this stuff. I mean, the Xbox 360 is not about you buy this thing, you buy these games, you stick them in there, and you play by yourself. You can play these games with others. You can play games that are online. You can now watch video. You can talk to other people. You can chat with them while you're playing the games.
Well, gaming is almost a form of social networking in a way.
Absolutely.
Remember when the PlayStation came out with the DVD player on it, and that was like such a big deal. So now,
exactly.
And this Hulu and all this TV stuff, it's free.
Yeah.
And how much does that little box thing cost?
Well, most of them are in
$100
or less.
$100 bucks.
Yeah, $100 or less for most of these things. And there's so many of them, and we probably need to take a step back and do a show just on, okay, here are all the different ways you can take whatever's normally on your computer and watch it on your television. That's probably a show by itself, right?
Yeah.
Here's the pros and cons of each one of these boxes, what it costs. This one's difficult to set up. We should probably even think about doing a future show on that kind of thing, because it is something that when, most people don't do this. But when they hear about it, they're going, gosh, I'd love to do that.
Yeah, no, because I mean, can you watch stuff like YouTube and movies that you make and things
anything
like that?
Anything that you can watch on your computer, you can watch on your big screen.
Yeah, absolutely.
As of now, I have to figure out a way to try and burn things to DVD and then see if it works over there,
right,
and all this kind
it's
of stuff.
Pain.
But this sounds fascinating.
That is so old school.
I know, I'm bad.
That is so 1990s.
I know.
Actually, no. Even people that are in technology aren't using this technology near as much as they probably would if you know, it's one of those things that once it's set up, you're like, how did I ever live without this?
Right.
So
yeah.
I think it's cool stuff. We'll talk about it more in the future.
Yeah. Then I won't be so stupid for not having gotten a TiVo.
Hey, listen, Twitter is not something that the vast majority of the world is. There's like 6 million Twitter users, and there's like 120 million Facebook users.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you know, Twitter's not something that everybody's using,
right,
but it's just becoming such a buzzword. And so, you know, we're just going to keep trying to bring these things up. It may be something you want to engage in and look at. It may be something you don't. You may wait till, you know, 50 million people are on, and then enough people around you are using it, you're going, okay, yeah, maybe it's time to get an email account. You know what I mean?
Well, I just got a DVD player a couple years ago. But, you know, it's just,
you had a question about add-ins.
Yeah, the add-ons. I have a problem with every time I'm doing work on the computer.
Yeah.
Not playing Tetris, but doing work. After a while, I'll get this, you know, Adobe ActiveX thing. Something has crashed and it has to restart. And I talked to Brandon 1 week when he was here, and he was like, oh, just, you know, re-upload everything, you know,
reinstall, refresh.
Did that, still does it. And when I see the list of add-ons, because I even clicked Advance, and it gives you a list of everything. What is ActiveX?
Is this Firefox?
No, Internet.
Internet Explorer?
Uh-huh.
Do you have Firefox installed on your computer?
Uh-uh.
Okay, so here's your to-do list.
Okay.
Go home today and install Firefox, okay? Because okay, Firefox is a faster browser. It also then will quickly tell you, is this a problem with my machine or is it a problem with Internet Explorer? Because if everything works beautifully in Firefox, then you know it's a problem. Something in Internet Explorer is causing this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can decide, well, do I want to go try to troubleshoot all this, or do I just use Firefox because it's working better?
Huh, okay.
And you should always have those two browsers anyway, just for all kinds of troubleshooting. But do that, and then the first time you try to go to these sites that need these plugins and add-ons, it'll say you need these.
Uh-huh.
And just follow through and allow Firefox to install those, you know, just follow the directions to install the Adobe Flash Player and those kinds of things, so you can kind of watch those things. And then once everything's going, I mean, if you go to that site and it works in Firefox and it doesn't in Internet Explorer, you know where the problem is.
Hmm. Yeah, because I've gone to Adobe and uploaded it, but then I don't see it in the list.
It's conflicting with something else. ActiveX is just Microsoft's scripting technology.
Oh,
so it's not a...
Because there's like three different kinds of
them.
Well, I've got Flash.
And like Ken's saying, it's always good to have an extra web browser. Because if one stops working and you don't have another one, well, you have no way to get another browser at that point.
Exactly.
Huh?
All right.
That's true.
We got to go to break here. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
And hopefully something happened for somebody there. 602-277-5827. Back after this. You fancy the streaming video and audio that's all over the internet, do you? Well, then you should probably check us out at datadoctors.com/radio, because we've put together a pretty large list of things that some of the websites you probably have heard of, and some of them you probably haven't. A lot of people have seen the Hulu commercials on TV, and you're thinking, why would they be advertising this internet alternative on, well... Because it's the same kind of commercial model that's on regular broadcast television. You can either watch the videos or the shows that you want with the commercials included, or some of them give you the option of watching a special commercial at the beginning, and then all the commercials get taken out. So you choose, you know, which direction you want to go. And I guess the assumption is that if you said, okay, I'm willing to watch this commercial in order to watch what I want to watch, the viewer that sees that is more tuned in, as opposed to on broadcast television when things are just kind of happening in the background. You just kind of tune out. You're waiting for this thing to start, so you're kind of watching more intently. And with the internet, they don't have to guess. It's not the Nielsen's where one household represents 10,000 viewers. They don't have to guess. They know exactly how many times somebody watched a show or they watched that particular commercial. So from a selling advertising standpoint, it's more pinpoint. The advertisers usually like it better because then it becomes a very clear path to people that are paying attention. So,
and actually, some of these commercials are pretty interactive too.
They can be. And so they're getting a lot more creative. Everybody hates commercials from the standpoint of, you know, whatever. I mean, nobody says, "Oh, I love just to sit and." But that's how we've paid for so many things for so long. So
unless it's the Super Bowl.
What's that? Oh, yeah. Well,
unless it's the Super Bowl, and then the hype is about the commercials.
But, I mean, either be willing to pay for something without commercials or, you know, there's got to be a trade-off. You can't just be free. We're not completely socialist yet, right? Let's see if we can help Jerry or Terry. I'm sorry. Terry, you have a question about you've got a machine that you'd like to put a larger hard drive in. You want to make sure you understand all the parts.
Right, yeah.
So you've got an HP brand computer. You've got the disk. Does it say recovery CD or anything on it, or startup CD, or what's it say on it?
They're backup CDs. I made them when I bought the computer like 3 years ago.
So you actually are one of the few that actually followed the directions. It says you need to do this when you first turned on your machine. You actually did it?
Yes.
Oh, my word. We got a winner.
I'm sort of old school.
All right.
I started with the DOS and all that stuff. And I'm like kind of like shied away from it, but I still follow procedure.
Yeah, without knowing exactly what's there, if it is a true recovery CD, then you should be able to take the old hard drive out. And when you do, take very, you know, good care of it. And just in case you have to put it back in, make sure you're not walking across the carpet with it and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Put the new hard drive in, right? Mm-hmm. Then put the backup CDs, or the number one CD from the disc set that you made it into your CD player.
Yes.
And turn on the machine,
okay.
or restart the machine, or put the CD in right after it starts, just so that you know. What you need to do is boot off that CD. Don't let it try to boot to the hard drive.
Right.
And then follow the directions. Now, it's going to take you through, if it's a standard recovery type CD, it's going to take you through the installation, the operating system, and everything. But when you're done, you're not done. When it finishes with the discs that you made, you're just getting started, okay? You got to make sure you've got all the latest updates for all the operating system and everything else. You still got to install your antivirus program and all your programs. So make absolutely sure you give yourself the time to do all of that. I think a lot of people think you just put the discs in and go, and that's just not how it works.
Got to get all the way to Service Pack 40.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's going to take about 3 hours.
Yeah, give yourself lots and lots of time, and then hopefully you've got a good solid backup of your critical data. Because after you get your operating system in, get the updates in, you get all the programs installed, then you can start restoring your data. That sounds like a whole weekend, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like a week.
But you know what, guys? Computers are more user-friendly these days. Not! It's the Computer Corner back after this. You're listening to the Computer Corner. The Data Doctors are in the house, along with Lewis from Mac Media. So we got your Windows side, we got your Macintosh side covered. If you're not a weekly subscriber to the newsletter, you missed out on yesterday's dispatch, which had a tip on how to change your laptop's power button. You know, when you press it, did you know you can make it do something different than what it's doing now? Get a newsletter, you know that.
Sign up, get edumacated.
Or just go to our website, datadoctors.com/help. And you'll see a place where you can actually look at all of the archived versions of the newsletter. There's some tips in there for baby boomers and seniors. Our Geek Speak of the Week. Of course, Twitter being so popular and all about what's happening in the news and what have you. There's scams going on, so you got to be careful. So if you get somebody that's posing as a 23-year-old on Twitter trying to lure you into looking at, quote-unquote, her webcam, don't click on that link.
There's always a bad seed.
And there's even a link for all you Mac people about the Mac Mini being the redheaded stepchild in the Apple family.
There's a new one that just came out.
That's what the story's about, the fact that it's kind of there, but it's not really getting it.
It's incredibly fast, the new one.
My weekly advice column on a free service called OpenDNS, a very interesting thing that they're doing. You can check that out either in today's East Valley Tribune or on our website there.
I have that set up on my router at home.
It's pretty neat stuff, huh? Let's get back here. Let's get back to our theme on streaming media. We've got we're going to get into the email bag here, if you will. It's a virtual bag. It's not real. He's looking around for the bag. There's no bag in here. Bob writes, our church would like to start webcasting our service. And there are lots of churches doing it. Is there a listing for the items needed to do this? In other words, we just want to plug in the video camera and off we go.
Isn't that what's done?
Also, what's the latest, the least expensive way to do webcast, live streaming, audio, video, the whole thing? Bob, have I got a deal for you. Today and today only, how about free?
Free sounds good.
Free's really good, right? And it's not quite as easy as just plugging in your video camera. But we started playing around a while back with this free service called Ustream, and it's ustream.tv. There's another one called StickCam that I have a link to. If you go to our website, datadoctors.com/radio, the first thing that I'd suggest you do is go looking around to see what other churches are doing, because I have seen some spectacular video transmissions being sent out through Ustream from very, very high production level church broadcasts, multiple cameras, the whole thing. I mean, they just, it's like television.
All right? HD and...
I don't know if it's HD or not, but it's a way to do it, and it's free. You plug in your video camera, you get your audio feed, you mix it down to whatever you're going to mix it to, you know, whether you're doing a combination of boards, and you just feed it through this computer, so it all gets fed into a computer somehow through all your mixers, however you've got that set up, and whatever's being sent to your computer, you can be uploading to or broadcasting through the Ustream, and also then a cached version of the recording will stay up there. So then anybody that missed the live broadcast can go back and look. It's not like podcasting.
Very nice.
This is not the only one that's doing it, but that's one of the many that's out there. And that one we've actually played with, and it's a very interesting service.
Now, what are the downfalls of the free service?
Well, typically what you're doing is you're creating a place where they can sell advertising of their choice when people come to see your broadcast. And so there's different ways of working with that, and there's different levels of service. But basically, the pitch here is live internet interactive broadcasting. Experience live video in just a few minutes. You can broadcast and chat online with a global audience completely free. All it takes is a camera and an internet connection. Try it now. Ustream.tv, check that out.
Well, it's a good way to get some experience at least.
Pretty soon, and I see these guys already talking about it, pretty soon, you're going to start seeing ways to transmit live video via the internet from your camera phone. So if you can do video on your camera phone or on your phone right now, there are ways already out there, and you're going to see more and more of this mobile broadcast kind of thing where, you know, I might be able to do my CNN segment from my iPhone. The way things are going, it's insane.
So you're talking like those flip video cameras?
Just any kind of a camera phone that actually can do any kind of video. You're starting to see, like I said, there's more and more of these services that are talking about, hey, either broadcast from or to. So one of the other things I saw was, hey, you know, we're working on the Sling Box. Pretty soon you'll be able to use the Sling Box through your iPhone. So those of you that are not familiar with the Sling Box allows you to take whatever you normally would watch on your home TV or that's been recorded onto your DVR, whether it's the one from the cable box or a TiVo, and connect your laptop in the hotel room and, you know, wherever you're going to be on the other side of the world, connect through the internet to the Sling Box and actually watch it as if you were at home. Oh, I missed that episode of The Sopranos or whatever. Let me go pull that up.
I was actually talking to my girlfriend about this the other day because she just got back from Singapore. And she couldn't find a television station that had anything in English. And she said, you know, what would you do if you travel a lot and you do this? I said, you get a sling box.
Bada-bing. Bada-bing, it's a sling box. Let's go back to the phones here and see if we can help Dave. Dave, you're in the market for a new computer, and you're a little confused about where you should spend your money.
Yes, sir.
So let's start with, and if the people you're talking to about selling you a computer don't start with these questions,
okay,
move on. Go somewhere else. What do you plan to use this computer for?
Well, primarily internet, some internet gaming, video.
When you say video, tell me more specifically what you mean by
video from my camcorder, uploaded into my PC, and then I'd like to be able to, of course, play it back and
Okay.
And,
just simple uploading a video to a computer, that kind of thing, that's pretty common. You can do it on all of them. If you want to start to get into video editing, that changes the game significantly.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't plan to really do any major editing.
I might do some, but... You just want to upload it and start collecting it and cutting it up and doing whatever.
Exactly.
Okay. So most every computer you're going to buy is going to have the ability to do that. Now, the video part of it, the fact that you want to do video, one of the components you're going to want to pay special attention to is the hard drive. Mm-hmm. If you're just buying a garden variety hard drive, it may not be fast enough to keep up with the video stream. And
okay.
So when that happens, when you're uploading your camcorder video, in some extreme cases, if you went to a real low-end computer, it's a possibility that in order to be able to capture the information, it has to drop some frames. So
okay.
It won't capture it in real, you know, 30 frame per second. It'll kind of compress it. It'll do something to it so that it can manage the stream. And so it'll cut out. It'll start throwing out some frames.
How do you know if a hard drive is a high-quality hard drive or not?
Well, you want to look for something other than the standard hard drives at like the 5200 RPM. The speed of the drive usually is an indication that it's a better hard drive.
Okay.
So the faster the speed, the RPMs. You don't have to go crazy, go to 10,000 or something like that. But
then the buffer on the hard drive as well.
Right. What you if you really want to get into this and really break it down, go start doing research on the individual components so that you're well-educated so you can identify, okay, this is a good computer, but the hard drive's not quite the type of hard drive I want. The other option you have is if you buy them off the shelf, you have to buy whatever's on there. You don't get to decide, well, I'd like that computer, but I'd like a better hard drive.
Okay.
So if that's what you want to do, then you want to look for people that will build you a custom computer with exactly the components you want.
The big question I had was with the new memory that's out, the new DDR3,
mm-hmm.
If that is something, if I'm going to be doing video, you know, minor video editing as well as playing games online, is it worth the investment?
It's not going to make a huge difference for what you're talking about. From those standpoints. See, if you're going to do online gaming, then your biggest bottleneck is going to be your internet connection. Everything in your computer is going to be faster than whatever your stream is getting, what you're getting from the internet.
I see.
So you don't want to get too carried away. Now, if you were getting into serious, you know, hardcore gaming where you're going to go to LAN parties and, you know, you load the software on your local hard drive and then you compete against other guys and you're connecting up to a network.
Okay.
Where you're playing that type of gaming. Again, that's a game changer. Now you better get a really high-speed graphics card. You better get a high-speed processor. You better have the fastest memory you can have. All that because you get into these first-person shooters, A, the quality of the gaming experience is minimized because if your processing power can't keep up with it, it's got to start leaving out some of the details in order to be able to reproduce the image.
I do a lot of single-player gaming.
But is it online mostly where you have to go to a website?
Yes.
Okay, then again, that's a different type of gaming.
Okay.
Because there's the limitation, the bottleneck is the internet connection. You can't do near as elaborate of a gaming experience that way as you can where the software actually is on your computer. You understand the difference?
Yeah, I sure do.
So that's what you're going to do is really going to point you towards, you know, there's a great website out there called Tom's Hardware.
Oh, right.
Little tweaky, you know, a little kind of hardcore techie, but it is a good place to learn about some of the more current components that make up a computer. So when you buy a computer from a major manufacturer, you're not buying anything that they made. They're getting the same hard drive,
sure.
The same memory, the same processor that anybody can get. So a custom computer is not that much different. It really depends on the sticker on the outside just determine who put the parts together. And more importantly, that's who's going to stand behind it. Like what happens when it has a problem because, I don't know, if you're factoring this in, but I've never heard of a computer that never has a problem. It's one of the reasons why I've been in the business for 20 years. It's going to have a problem. So make sure you do as much research on the person that's selling you the computer or building it for you as you do the actual components.
Is there any one brand that really is more or less problematic than others?
No, not really, because they're all, you know, it's what's inside the computer. The complaints you hear is not about the brand. It's about how the brand reacts when there is a problem.
I see.
When you start to see all the complaints from people on the internet. Because remember that we're all using the same parts when we build these computers. So
if I could shift gears again. You had mentioned...
hey, you know what, Dave?
Sure.
I'd love for you to shift gears, but if you'll hold, we're going to just press the clutch in here, take a quick break before we shift gears with Dave. It's the Computer Corner. Ken, Robert, and Lewis back after this. We're talking about technology as we do every Saturday afternoon. We specifically are focusing in a little bit on streaming media. And if you haven't really looked at what's going on out there, you probably didn't realize, oh my word, look at all this. I had no idea. That's the point of today's show. Go check out all the resources. We got everything from services to ways that you can broadcast yourself to the little gadgets we talked about and the boxes that allow you to be able to watch internet content on any television. But go ahead.
You know what we haven't got? We haven't got a call from somebody that had purchased one of those $100,000 home systems that had replaced it with one of those $200 streaming media boxes. Because I've had customers do that,
yeah.
And we haven't got that call today. I'm surprised.
Well, I'm sure they're driving around in their $300,000 cars. We were just shifting gears with Dave, but Dave, just to wrap up the question about the computer, let me just try to wrap this into something that I think everybody listening that's interested in buying a new computer. This is my really old, tired explanation of how a computer works.
Okay.
If you think of a computer like a kitchen, right? The processor, you know, that's the AMD, Intel, whatever. The processor is like the chef. This guy's doing all the work, right?
Okay.
The RAM, the random access memory, that's like a mixing bowl.
Okay.
So a lot of times you'll hear people saying, well, RAM is the best bang for the buck. That gives you the most performance increase for the money because RAM's fairly inexpensive. If you have more RAM, it's like having a bigger mixing bowl as a chef. If I'm cooking, the bigger the bowl I have, the more I can do in it, right?
All right.
If it's too small, I got to dump it, go load it again with the next ingredient, whatever. It's going to take me longer to prepare that meal. Okay? So you have that perspective. The third component that's important on your computer kitchen and in your computer itself is the hard drive. The hard drive's like a refrigerator. Okay? It's primarily for storage. When you run out of memory, RAM, when you run out of mixing bowl space, this is where the analogy starts to fall apart, but this is how ridiculously slow it becomes. I need more space to work with to do some cooking, right? Or just to mixing the ingredients. I'm literally using space inside the refrigerator to try to get that. I mean, it's like just the weirdest thing in the world. You don't want to do that. But with computers, when it runs out of storage area, the memory area to work with, the RAM, it actually uses what's called virtual memory. It actually uses part of the hard drive as an additional mixing bowl. And it's really, really slow. So a lot of people make the mistake of focusing too much on the chef, right? You got a really fast chef with a small mixing bowl. He's going to be hamstrung. You're better off having a slower chef with a much bigger mixing bowl. You'll actually be able to operate quicker.
Well, that helps a lot because I've been just, beating my head just trying to figure out, if I should.
Yeah, if you get consumed with the bits and bytes and all the specs and all the stuff, which is very, very typical, and that's how they sell computers these days, if you keep that analogy in the back of your mind about where the important part is, you're better off spending more money on RAM before you spend it on a processor. Obviously, there's diminishing returns as you go in each of these areas. You can get to the ridiculous. And obviously, you got to make sure it's like have you ever seen somebody that said, well, I'll never need more than this much space in my refrigerator? I mean, it's like I've seen people with those massive double-wide things in there. That's gorgeous. You open it up, and they're packed. And the same thing happens with your hard drive. There's no such thing as too big.
Well, and with processors, they always have what's called the megahertz myth,
mm-hmm.
where everybody says, well, you want to get the fastest processor possible, so you want the highest megahertz rating. Which is not necessarily...
Well, and if you do the math, the step between this processor and this processor costs you $150. And if you do it on a percentage of performance, it's like 6% more.
Exactly.
Right? It's like, you're not going to see that. You're never going to be able to tell that as a user because all these other things are slower. And these bottlenecks are going to keep you from ever being able to do anything with those faster processors. So you had one other question that was shifting gears.
Yes, I am interested in extending my internet connection, to my audiovisual system. You mentioned some of the boxes. Do you have any particular box that you can recommend?
Well, there's quite a few of them, and they all kind of do different things, and I've just added, as a result of us talking about these things, I've added that to the resource list. So there's the Slingbox in there, there's Apple TV, there's the Roku digital player, there's a bunch of them in there that you can click on the links and go learn a little bit more about each one, because they all have different features. And it's really cool. I mean, it's definitely worth looking into if you really like to consume a lot of internet content and you'd like to be able to do it in the comfort of your big easy chair.
You guys have been a tremendous help. I really appreciate your time.
Dave, good luck, and let us know how you did on a future show.
All right, I will.
All right, Bye-bye. Take care. Hey, Bill, hang tight. We're going to get one-on-one after the show here. We'll get you some private sessions. We appreciate everybody that participated. Lewis, thanks for coming back in.
Thanks for having me.
Mac Media.
MacMediaInc.com.
MacMediaInc.com. Robert and I are from Data Doctors. We're at datadoctors.com. We can help you at very 20 locations throughout the Phoenix metro area. Appreciate you listening. Join us again next week as we talk more about technology, or join us online all the time, datadoctors.com/radio.